start over a little bit. I'm not going to cover everything. But Saul is the king now. David's predecessor. But now Saul rebelled against God. God rejects Saul as king. Remember that? He said, "You'll be no more king to me." Now God gets Samuel to anoint David. Now Israel have what? Two kings. One is on the throne, which is Saul, and the other has yet to ascend to the throne. Now David is in such an awkward position. He's king, but I'm not on the throne yet, because there's a king that's still on the throne. And far as I'm concerned, he's still God's anointed. Okay? So now, what an awkward position he's in. Saul is jealous of David now. Saul is going behind David to kill David. Because because the people have been, the people have put all these things in Saul's mind about David, and now he wants David out of the picture here. Okay? So I'm trying to bring you up to speed for where I'm about to take off here, because you got to understand this to appreciate David's knowledge of authority. So, and the first caption is, "Not at a price of rebellion did David seek the throne." The time God formally inaugurated his authority on earth was at the time the kingdom of Israel was established. And the kingdom of Israel, when it means the king of Israel, the kingdom of Israel was established, they mean established with a king. Every kingdom has to have a king. So now God is using Saul to establish this kingdom with earthly rule. It was God rule, but now there's the earthly rule coming upon the scene. King Saul. Okay? The Israelites, having entered Canaan, asked God for a king. Whereupon God commissioned Samuel to anoint Saul to be the first king. Saul was chosen, set up by God to be a delegated authority. Now, delegated authority means authority that has been delegated by God. God saying, when delegated authority is all the authority I have, I delegate this man. He's taking my place upon the earth. So Saul's job was to obey God as God gave him instruction. Okay, his instruction was supposed to come through a prophet, which that was Samuel. So you see how the system messed up today? You see, the prophet's supposed to instruct the king. The prophet supposed to instruct the president. But the system had got twisted now. You know, this early government has completely taken over the government. God has no voice in it. All right? So now Saul is supposed to have taken orders from the king, and now God tells Samuel, which is his prophet, to tell Saul to go and slay the Amalekite. I think that's 1 Samuel 15, I think. I'm not sure. So don't quote me on that. Go slay the Amalekite and utterly destroy them all. He said everything. Saul disobeyed, okay? Now, he spared the king of the Amalekite and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatling, and the lambs and all that was good. But God rejects Saul and anoint David. He said, "You shall be no more king unto me." That's something. I don't know if I can handle the words, God said, I can't use you no more. What a statement God told him, man. I can't use you no more. You messed up, you disobeyed me. My God. So now Saul rejected God's anointing and passed on to David, but yet he's still in the office, which is anointed. It makes sense. You got to separate the office from the person. The office of king still anointed, but anointing that was to run that office gone. So he's operating without the anointing to function as a king, but still in the office of a king. So far as David said, that's still God's anointed, because he's still standing in that office. They got a lot of men of God that stand in office without the anointing, because God has rejected them. They just don't know it yet. All right? That's an awesome place to be in. David cried out, "Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Remember when you sinned? He cried out in the 51st Psalm for mercy and grace. Oh, man. So, but here's the problem. Listen at this now. David, being an enlisted man in Saul's army, was still under Saul's authority. Now, look at this now. He's a king, but I'm still in Saul's army. David recognized the order. David didn't usurp his own authority here now. You know, he understands order. He understands government. I'm anointed, but I'm still under Saul's authority. What an awkward place to be in. I'm supposed to be in his place, but yet he's still living. How am I taking place? If I kill him, I can ascend directly to the throne. Get him out of the way and go straight to the throne, because I am king. God anoint me as king. But David would not expedite God's will. You know, you didn't want to do it. David waited for God to work. Now, that's a powerful statement. David waited for God to put things in motion. Most people, to get a calling from God, they get anointed, then they appoint themselves and don't wait till God place them or position them. It looked like he could have just positioned himself. Don't you think so? Now, we're going to find out all the opportunities David had to appoint himself as king, put himself in position. And sometimes God will put you in position, look like he put you in position, but he put you in a position to test you, to see how you would handle yourself before you get in the position. I don't know if I said so many things, I don't know if I made sense. Sometimes God will try you to see if you're ready for a position by putting you in an awkward position to see if you can handle the position before you get in the position. So David has some tests to pass. Are you in any kind of position before you get in the position? If you don't handle where you are now, if you don't do well where God has you now, you're not going to be, God will not be able to trust you where he want to place you. If you're not being faithful where you are now, doing what you're supposed to do where you are now, it could be a test to see if you're going to handle the rest. You see? Now, I'm trying to show you where David is, so because sometimes we get in that same position and don't realize it. You got to recognize your position. Don't let men promote you. David's men wanted to promote him. I'm going to show you that in a little bit. Oh, you can be king now. God has set you up to be king right now. Can't you see? God had placed you in this position here for a reason, and you can be king right now. David made a statement. He said, "No, I can't touch God's anointing, because I don't want to get in trouble with God. People lead you, and they make you think that's God. And they give you a reason to believe it's God." That's the strange part. They give you a reason to believe it's God. They'll give you all the scriptures. They'll quote scripture to you. Yeah. But you better know. Know where? Know in your heart. David had this thing in his heart. David had God in his heart. And when you got God in your heart, guess what? You almost think like God. You see it? Now, let me go down this line here. Israel now has two kings, the rejected one and the one who has not yet ascended to the throne. David was in the most difficult situation. David's men suggested that he should kill Saul. Let's look at the scriptures here. Go to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. I want to read this thing here and see the live, some live action here. I think 24:1. This is a good example here of what David went through. And you can see it through the scriptures here. Anybody ever had a new Bible and you can't separate the pages? Okay. You want to blow it? You want to lick your finger? All right. 24:1. Let's see. I'm going to get it. All right. 24:1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returning from following the Philistine, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goat. And he came to the sheepcote by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, listen to this now, "Thus saith the Lord." You have some people have prophesied to you. A man prophesied to me one time, messed me up for a long, I told you the story. He messed me up for a long time because I trusted him and I let him get too close to me. Don't let nobody get too close to you where you don't try the spirit. It locked me up for a whole year. I'm not going to go through the whole story. He said, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee," and then almost like quoting scripture, "Behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily or privately. Now, put yourself in this situation. David got so close to Saul that it almost seemed like it was the will of God to kill Saul. Almost looked like God had planned this thing for David to set himself in this position. And the men bear witness of it because it looked like it was so much in order. See, you know, sometimes things look like just falling in line and perfect alignment. But that don't mean it's God all the time. And sometimes God will put you in this position to see what you're going to do, how you're going to respond to this, to test you, to prove you, to see what's in your heart. And so now David is in this awkward position. Saul lay right before him. Then the men prophesying to him, tell him this is the Lord's will, but he wouldn't do it. He got a sword in his hand. Instead of killing Saul, he cut part of his robe off. Evidence that I could have killed you, but I didn't. Okay? I could have killed you and went right to the throne. I could be king today. That was what men were saying. You could be king today. All I do is take him out. All right? Now, it's going to go further in the next example. But look what David's response is. Watch what his response. Look. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. One translation said his conscience began to whip him. You know what the conscience is, huh? The conscience is the voice of your recreated spirit. Your spirit has a voice, and that voice is conscience. But David's conscience wouldn't let him rest. You ever did anything your conscience wouldn't let you rest? You know, you have violated something that God didn't want to do, something God didn't want you to do, and all of a sudden you can't sleep at night? It smote him. His heart smote him, it said. Yeah, it did. He knew he had done wrong. How do you think he would have felt if he would have killed Saul? If he just cut the skirt of a part of his robe off. He didn't touch Saul, he just touched his robe. How sensitive that is in an Old Testament person. You see it? I remember an apostle. I told you the story. Maybe I didn't. I understood what smote means. I've been with the family at a funeral. The loved one that died, I stayed at the hospital all morning, all afternoon. I told you, I went to the family house. Then all of a sudden, I told you the story, right? And so, but anyway, Apostle said, Ron, you go home. I said, boy, I had a pounding headache. You ever had one of them pounding headache? You can hear your heart beat in your head. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, I was in trouble, man. But I didn't want to go, but I was hurting so bad I went home because the apostle released me. He released me, but it felt like I wasn't released. And I went home, and my heart smote me. I said, I shouldn't have left my man of God by himself. My heart smote me, and I was hurting both ways. My head was hurting because I had been under strain all day, tired. But I was hurting more spiritually because I felt like I had violated a principle of leaving my apostle. I said, man, this hurt. I didn't like the way that felt. And all the way I got released, I went back to him. I said, I shouldn't have left you, sir. He said, no, it was all right. I said, I shouldn't have left you. I said, I apologize, forgive me. That's the only way I got the relief because it wouldn't let up. You see, my heart smote me. And I don't know if anybody can understand what that felt like, but I felt like I betrayed him, felt like I let him down. It's because I felt like I didn't follow up on what I was supposed to do. Anyway, I understood what David's heart felt like when the heart smote them. That's the closest I can give you to what David went through. But his heart smote them because he didn't want to violate authority. He didn't want to violate his position that God had put him in. You see it? All right? He didn't want to miss God's plan for that moment. God's got a plan for the moment. You miss it, then you might not get that moment again. You see it? Because there's something in that you're supposed to pick up, something you're supposed to learn, something you're supposed to be able to execute right, feel like I'd failed God, failed my apostle, a little thing like that. That's what David felt like he failed God. By dishonoring God, by dishonoring the man of God. And that's what I felt like. I dishonored God by dishonoring his servant. It's all right to feel like that if your heart right. But if you do things and don't feel nothing, you might not understand submission. You might not understand honor. You might not understand authority. You might not understand your position. Unless you think you're equal. That changed the whole story, huh? If David thought he was equal with Saul, he wouldn't have felt nothing. You see it? All right, let me move on, because I'm not going to get too far with this. And look, and his heart smote him, and he said unto his men, if you're in any kind of spiritual position, any kind of authority position, you got men serving under you, and they try to tell you to do something that's dishonorable, or they don't understand what God is doing through you, to you, with you, and they try to lead you, sometimes they do it in ignorance. Sometimes they don't do it purposely. That's why when I get around a man of God, I don't say too much. I don't try to make any suggestions that'll take him off what he's supposed to be doing. I don't want to put no ideas in the air. Now he got to filter through what I just said to try and see if that was God talking to him. Because no, God used other people. So I just keep my mouth quiet when I'm around my authority. I keep quiet. And I don't say anything to interfere with him functioning, with his functioning. I don't just throw nothing out in the air. Well, wouldn't it be a good idea to do? Nope, I don't throw nothing out in the air. When you're around authority, I don't just throw nothing out in the air. Unless you say, Ron, what you think about this? Now he's opened the door for me to release what's in my spirit. I'm making sense? You don't just throw things out there. Suggestion, an idea, unless you ask. And I learned that valuable lesson. I get around my apostle, and I can have all kind of ideas. Some of them might sound good, but I learned to zip my lip. And then unless he said, Ron, what you think about this? Not just sure. I said, you might look at it like this or something like that, along that line, but then he gave me liberty. You see it? Anyway, I thought I'd just throw that in. It seemed good to me anyway. And said, but the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointing, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He's trying to tell these men, you're not just fooling with a regular man here. This man's still under God's anointing. Why? He's still in the office that God put him in. I didn't put him in that office, and I can't take him out. I got to wait till God moves here. It's the king saying that. A king standing above the king. I got to wait till God make this adjustment here. But that's the awkward position. I wouldn't want to be in that position. But that's why he was so great. God trained them right up to this point here. God don't ever stop training you. You always in training. I don't care what the situation you get in, that's training. Some people don't like training. They try to skip over training. That's training. Apostle, I'm training tonight. Don't come to my class late like that no more, young man. Don't sound good. Didn't feel good. Don't never skip an opportunity to be trained. Yes, sir. Make sure your heart submit it. Don't let your crazy head get in the way and try to take you out of divine training to give you a divine promotion. Is how you respond that what God looking at. God ain't looking at how you act. Because you can act in submission. Remember I told you, I made a statement. You can be rebellious, you can be submission in action. But you can be rebellious at heart. You can act like I'm submitted. Yeah, I'm sitting, I'm okay. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. But in your heart, you got all kind of turbulence going on. This turbulence. No, you got to get it straight. Say, Lord, if my heart wasn't right toward this thing, forgive me. Look, I'm going to shift right now. So I get right back in the socket because you're trying to do something with me, for me, with me, in me, through me, by a great man of God. I take correction from a man of God any day of the night, any night of the day, or any way you want to say it. I take correction from God because God's trying to get me somewhere I can't get by myself. I'm too stubborn to learn by myself. Sometimes God have to do some pushing and shoving. God loves us so much. God wants to get it so bad. He'll do whatever you gotta do to get it over to us. Make men out of us and women out of us spiritually. You got to man up when it comes to spiritual things. Yeah, Lord. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the secret to this thing, the seventh verse. So David did what? What that next word is? Stayed. You know what stayed mean? David corrected his men. He corrected his men what? Their thinking. Their thinking was wrong. He corrected their thinking. No, you can't just think. This is not a natural situation here. This is a supernatural situation here. You got to see beyond what you see. You got to hear what you don't hear. You got to understand what I'm trying to tell you. You need to understand. You see it? So he corrected his men. Put him in line with what his belief system. See, a leader got to do that. A leader put their people in line with your belief system. You got to believe the same thing the leader believe. If not, you're out of order. Because believe the leader is following God. If I don't believe what he believes, then what kind of help can I be to him? You a man pleaser? Yeah, I'm a man pleaser that following God. Because I know when I please him, I'm pleasing God. Not a man pleaser just to please men, but a man that following God. Yeah, I'm a man pleaser. Because I want to make sure my apostle is satisfied. I want to make sure my apostle it can function without any hindrance. If he's hindered, I don't want to be by me. No. I don't want to be hindered, not on my watch. I don't want to be the one holding up the train, you. You know, I remember there was a battle back in the Old Testament. They went to battle, and they were told not to take none of the spoil. But this man here took some of the spoil and he hid it in his tent. And so they went out to battle and they got defeated, boy. Bad, man. Trying to figure out what's going on. It's just somebody, the Spirit of the Lord revealed to them. Somebody messed up here. Somebody did something wasn't supposed to do here. And it started casting lots, trying to find out what was, and it fell upon this man here. And then they found out that he had hit some stuff. So I don't be the one to hold God's people up. I don't want to be a Miriam that get all messed up and then it stopped God's whole 3 million people from moving toward the promised land. See, rebellion don't stop the move of God, but it'll slow it down. I don't want to be the one to slow down the vision of God because you got to stop and deal with me. Apostle ain't got time to stop and deal with me and you. And us. He got to keep functioning on the line with what God is telling him to do. I just like you got your whole family in the van and you're going to Disney World. You're trying to get to Disney World, but you got to stop side of the road to correct these children here. Because somebody don't want to cooperate. And now you got a time schedule you're trying to keep because the hotel. You check in at a certain time, you're trying to get to the check-in, but now I got to stop to deal with this. He said, now, ain't this something? My daddy said, this ain't hell, I quit. I never know what that meant, but he said it all the time. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be the one. I don't want to be the person to hold this thing up. That's what I'm trying to say. You see it? And I want to keep myself my heart right at all time. Keep your heart right at all time. Repent often. Even when it's a thought. I don't wait till my action. I say, Lord, that's not right thinking now. You catch it before it become an action. And I say, search me, Lord. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See, this is a wicked thought here I got in my head. And lead me to way everlasting. I don't want no crazy thought messing with my mind. Then I got to shift. I ain't got time to be shifting and going back and forth to first gear and second gear. And I go back to first gear and second gear. I can't never get third gear because I'm stuck in first and second. because I got these thoughts going back and forth in my head. No, straighten the thoughts out. Tell yourself what to think. Nope, that's not aligning with God's word here. You're slowing me down. I need to go forward, but these thoughts keep going back and forth. No, I need to get my thoughts right. I'm making sense. Thoughts will mess you up, man, if they ain't the right thought. If these thoughts ain't ordered by God, help me, Lord, to know what's right. All right, now. Now, that's one instance, okay? Let's go to the next instance. Go to 1 Samuel 26 verse now. We're going to see another instance that's more powerful than this one here. David going to the throne now, but not at his own pace. Oh, I just heard something here. You going to where God wants you to go, but just don't go at your own pace. You will get there, but let God bring you through the pace. I don't know if that makes sense. Don't try to go by your own power, by your own. Let God take you there. Yeah, you might go through a few bumps, a few ruts, but all that to prepare you for where you're supposed to be going. That's to help you get where you need to be. Because when you get to where you're going, you gotta have all the equipment to take care of where you're going. What I'm saying, God builds qualities on the run. God prepares you on the run. What do you mean, prepare me on the run? God show you things to develop you while you're, it's like on-the-job training. You're being trained, but don't know what you're being trained for. You go through things sometimes, you don't know why you're going through them, but that's part of the curriculum that God has set up for you. That you don't know is a curriculum. That's the hidden training. That person that rubbed you wrong and you sack them out, that was part of a training. You didn't know that. Because now, this how you going to handle my people? When I put you to where you're going? Every situation you experience, watch how the outcome come out. Be careful with the outcome. Every scenario you go through, be careful with the outcome, because it might determine your future. I'm saying more than y'all hearing. Your future is determined by how you handle the test. How many tests did you flunk? I know I flunked a few. And by myself? Because I didn't handle some situation right. You see it? And then when you don't pass the test, guess what? You know, you got to take the test over again. If you don't get something straight, you'll go through the same little wood. Israel went around the wilderness. I don't know how many laps they made. God said, another lap. Didn't do it right. A 40-day journey turned to 40 years because they got so contrary, kept going around. Why is that when you get lost, you end up in the same place? You see, I ain't seen this before. I was with a pastor, went to one of the Brother Hagin meeting. We was in Michigan. And I'm driving him and another pastor around. And I got so lost. Pastor Ron, I ain't seen this before. He said, you're lost. I said, yes, I'm lost. But you always end up at the same spot again. And so sometimes you end up at the same, taking the same test over again until you get it right. All right? Okay. Now, you're in 1 Samuel 26? Why this one now? I got 5 minutes to tell this one. Okay. All right. It's going to take me 5 minutes to get this page and stuff. Trying to break in the new best here. And the Ziphites came unto Saul, you see it? In Gibeah, saying, Do not David hide, he's telling us to Saul, in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jezreel? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jezreel, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deep. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his horse, and in other words, he was Saul's armor bearer. And Saul lay in a trench, and the people pitched around. They made a circle around Saul, and Abner and Saul was in the trench as a place of protection, okay? Then answered David and said to Amalek, that David's man, the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me? Who will come and go with me? To Saul to the camp. And Abishai, have mercy if I'm not standing right, said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay around about him. See, the bolster was a little bag where they kept a soft clothing in, and that was a pillow. Saul laid his head on that he rested, so the spear was right by his head. So David had to come right to Saul's head to take the spear and to water out of his bag. Close enough to kill him, would you think? It seemed like a setup. Don't like a setup here? Like God had set this up for a reason to take care of this business here? Now watch this. I'm rolling now. Then said Abishai to David. See, Abishai was David's right-hand man. He was Joab's brother. And they gave their left arm for David. They love him so much. But look what he told David. So David has a certain amount of trust in him, because he's the man that said, I'm going with you. In other words, I might die with you, but I'm going with you. See, when you're going, whatever he experienced, you're going to experience. So when you go with a man of God, whatever he experienced, you'll be ready to experience it too. You see it?
Yes, sir.
And so that's how close he was, man, to him. And he said, be careful what you say to your man of God. Be careful what you present before them. God had delivered thy enemy into thy hand this day. Don't that sound good? Now, therefore, let me smite him. That's the difference now. You ain't got dirt in your hand. If anything befall, it's going to befall on me. The blood not going to be on you. The king's blood going to be on me. This won't be on your conscience. And so you have to say you did this. So you have to, you can sleep at night. Abishai did it. I pray thee with the spear, let me smite him with the spear, even to the earth at once, and will not smite him the second time. He's not going to suffer. I'm going to kill him quick. He's going to die quick. One time, I'm gonna stab him, and he's going to die right there. So he ain't going to suffer, and we'll take him out. You can build him and be king. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who, don't make a difference if it's you or me, can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. Now, the last thing I can say today, because my time up, but don't make a difference who. If it's out of God's will, it's out of God's will. All right? So class, the point of this whole thing is you don't want to do anything outside of God's time. God know how to direct you right smack into his will without you trying to help him. Don't try to help God. All right? Wait for God to work. All right? So class ended. I might have to touch some more on this next week, but we're going to see. But I got a short time to go through a lot of this book, so I think I got enough out. All right? Any questions?